Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the CEO and president of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live and evolve through challenging times for healthcare professionals, their industry partners, and the people we all serve. Leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome an accomplished health IT leader and former CIO with a passion for helping healthcare make the most out of technology. He brings over 25 years of HIT experience within the application and technology sectors for his team and has been highly regarded for his visibility, versatility, and his ability to comprehend and analyze operational, clinical, and technical concepts. He has worked with representatives at all management levels through the entire health spectrum, including provider, consulting, and IT services. In his current position, a new one at that, he is the chief of U.S. operations for Divergent. He's passionate about enabling technology teams to do more with their time and their teams. He is a self-proclaimed technology nerd, but I will tell you, he pairs that perfectly with amazing thought leadership and strategic leadership. It is such a pleasure to welcome Joe Grinstead to the program. Joe, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, Russ, it's great to be talking to you again. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. It's always a pleasure to get to banter with you.
Hey, well, congratulations on the new title. We were joking about that earlier. Sometimes you get a new title but more responsibility, but none of the pay. But more importantly for you, I know it's a big step up there at Divergent, a great company. Tell us a little bit about what's going on, your new journey, and how things are happening out there in the Divergent land.
Yeah, so it's an exciting time for us as Divergent. We spent a lot of 2023, invested a lot of effort in 2023 in adding to our capabilities, really making sure our company is ready to serve, you know, the evolving needs in the healthcare IT space. We've made a lot of investments in our capabilities. We've brought on some really amazing people and talent and are looking just with great optimism and excitement into 2024.
Well, again, congratulations on that promotion. You talked about, you know, changing your team, upgrading your team, repositioning your team, retooling your team for a changing healthcare ecosystem. Wow, I don't know if those words even do justice to what's going on in our healthcare ecosystem out there as we see change happening everywhere. It's just the norm. Even today, I was reading through multiple news stories and it was just like, change is the new norm. The administration has to embrace a whole new healthcare ecosystem. There's just everything that's out there. How are you approaching this from a leadership perspective to not only embrace the change, but also help facilitate an industry that has not been change embracing over many decades?
Yeah, I find it interesting when you look at where we sit at the intersection of healthcare and information technology. You know, we're probably looking at two of the spaces in the world that are evolving the fastest of any. You know, the healthcare industry, we know we've got to evolve and change. We've got to get better at things. We've got to get more efficient. You know, our people deserve the best care we can deliver, and we've got to figure out how to do that in a way that's financially viable. So, you know, and then technology, of course, you know, I'll say artificial intelligence, because I think every call and podcast now has to use the word artificial intelligence. So we'll get that out of the way early. But a lot of other things in the technology space are evolving rapidly. We've really been making investments in going out and finding people that are experts in this space to really bring together thought leadership and capability. And what we're really focused on is listening to our customers. We always try to start with our customer. And, you know, what are our customers saying are the challenges they're facing? What are our customers saying that, you know, keep them up at night, the old adage. And we're working to build tools and implementation models and accelerators to help organizations solve for some of those challenges and get value as fast as they can. And value, as we define it, is the combination of, you know, delivering great care to patients and making our caregivers feel good about their job and what they're doing, and of course, making it all financially viable. So like I said, we listen a lot to our customers. We actually have a call this afternoon with our advisory board, which is made up of a variety of leaders in the healthcare IT space. And our topic is artificial intelligence. And we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, sort of their perspective on things and trying to build a common understanding about sort of where we think the industry is. And you know this, Russ, because you talk to, you know, a lot of healthcare organizations too. Everybody's in a little bit of a different space. You know, you can generalize to some extent, but we also want to make sure that we're customizing to each organization and where they are. And I'm looking forward to hearing from our advisors this afternoon about where they are with artificial intelligence. And I expect we're going to hear a lot of different answers. So should be interesting.
Yeah. So I affectionately are starting to refer to this era of time in healthcare. Maybe it's the new thing for 2024 is kind of the Wizard of Oz period. It's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. You know, we've got so many things that are presented as challenges for us: workforce shortages, inflation, mergers and acquisitions, organizations striving for process improvement and outcome changes, those kinds of things. It's as soon as you think you're dealing with one, the next thing hits you, and the next thing hits you, and the next thing hits you. You know, especially mergers and acquisitions, which create a lot of uncertainty and a lot of angst out in the industry. As you work with a lot of, not just our members out in the industry, just kind of these great healthcare institutions, how do you see this affecting them, and how can they actually create a model of high morale and job satisfaction when there's also things working against them that kind of challenge that status quo of high morale?
Well, it's an old adage, but change is hard, change is scary. As a leader, one of the things I've learned, and I'm not perfect, none of us are, but I've tried to, you know, evolve my understanding there. And back when I was working for one of the healthcare organizations, I was introduced to the concept of servant leadership. And I've really sort of tried to embrace that in my approach. And part of that, you know, to me means it's our job as leaders to serve the people that we're responsible for. And part of that service, when you're in a big tumultuous time like a merger and acquisition in an organization, is communicating and informing, and most importantly, being honest. You know, I've been in mergers and acquisitions where, you know, when I was younger in my career, perhaps a little more naive, where leadership would come out and say, yes, we're going to merge with this organization, but, you know, your job will stay the same. Nothing's going to change. It's either an outright lie or someone who doesn't understand how these things work. Things are going to change, and that's okay. But we need to help people through change. And one of the things that I've been spending a lot of time with my team on here at Divergent this past year is around the whole science of organizational change management, or OCM, which we've started to embrace, because what we found is that it brings, again, a science to change. So it brings tools and approaches and strategies to the table and ask questions about how we can help support people through times of change. And we really want to make sure that people have the information we can give them. If we don't have an answer, and a lot of times early on, especially in a merger type situation, there's a lot of stuff you just don't know yet. The ink's barely dry on the merger agreement. You know, we don't know who's going to be in what seat, you know, 6 months, 12 months from now. You know, we don't know what teams are going to be where and how they're going to be working. That's being built. As part of what OCM teaches us is be honest about that, but then look to embrace the state, the people in the change. So, you know, rather than answering, someone comes to you and says, well, who's going to be my new boss a year from now? Don't lie. Don't tell them something definitive unless you know it definitively, but tell them, we're still working on that. Really want you to be a part of the conversation as we evolve the organization and engage them and bring them into it. But, you know, changes, like I started with, it's scary, it's hard. Our job as leaders is really to focus on making sure our teams have the information they need, the tools to be successful, and they have our honesty and support.
That's awesome. Well, I think you checked one of the squares off with a little bit of podcast bingo there. I think you used AI, I could throw out ML, quantum, maybe they can get a perfect straight here as we go along. that kind of can all get thrown into this bucket that seems to be a prevalent word in healthcare right now, and that's innovation. Mm-hmm. And it can, innovation can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It can be a new piece of technology. It could be a new piece of software. It could be a new process. It could be fixing old process. So I'd love to kind of hear your take on innovation right now, both within side Divergent, but also what you're seeing in healthcare. And how do you create a culture of embracing change when innovation really is change? How do you create that culture where people are really love to experiment and find ways to create value and benefit?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely. One of my observations about innovation, like you said, it comes in a lot of forms. And my observation is it comes in a lot of sizes. I think sometimes we think about innovation and we think about this big mammoth shift in how we do business and, you know, thousands of people impacted and everything else. And a lot of times innovation comes in small packages, and that's okay. You know, one of my colleagues or our leader of our finance team says, you know, improve 100 things by 1%. You know, sometimes we make incremental improvements across our portfolio of business rather than trying to radically redesign and blow up, you know, one particular part. And that's a lot of what the conversations are that we're having both internally at Divergent. One of our strategic imperatives this year that we're focusing on is how are we going to leverage automation and artificial intelligence? So I've double checked my artificial intelligence bingo card there. How are we going to leverage that to streamline our business and deliver better for our customers? And so we are being very intentional about making an investment in both the tools as well as the people and their time to go there. But then on the other hand, to your question about the culture of innovation, you know, one of the biggest things to me about creating a culture of innovation starts with making it okay to make mistakes. And that can be hard because mistakes can sometimes have impacts that you don't like, whether it's internally or to your customers, you know, hit your financials and things like that. But I try to be very intentional about when I come across something that we have to deal with where, you know, something went wrong that we didn't expect. What was the intent? I've not yet in my career found anybody who tried something and intended for it to go wrong. They didn't do it because they wanted it to go wrong. They thought it would make things better. Now, did they lack information? Did they not analyze it deep enough? Possibly. Let's have that conversation. And let's have, rather than, I've often said to people, I don't want you to apologize for what happened. I want you to tell me what you learned out of it so that we're going to go forward differently. That culture is so important to innovation. And, you know, you hear it a lot in our Silicon Valley companies. You know, they encourage people to fail. It's, you know, fail fast and regroup and try again. That's sometimes, I think, a little harder in healthcare because, you know, by nature, we're all taught in our healthcare career that at the end of the day, there's someone's life on the line. So mistakes have an even bigger impact. But there are places where we can find to innovate safely in the organization to become more comfortable with some of these more advanced technologies that are coming at us so that we can then also feel more comfortable incorporating them into more direct patient care spaces and things like that. So what we're hearing from a lot of our clients is, you know, they want to focus on things like back office functions. How can we automate? How can we use artificial intelligence to squeeze value out of that? And then how can we take that time that we're investing today in those back office functions and invest it in a better patient experience and invest it in supporting caregivers? So, you know, like I said, the culture starts with being comfortable with making mistakes. You know, if someone makes the same mistake over and over again, that's a different conversation. But then once you make people comfortable that it's okay to make a mistake, you know, it's far easier then to empower them to try new things and you know, see what's out there. And again, we know some will succeed, some won't. Let's leverage the ones that succeed. Let's learn from the ones that don't. So,
yeah, it's interesting because you just used a word that I like, and I'm not sure where I read it fairly recently, probably over the last year. And they said, actually, take the word failure out of our vocabulary. And instead of success and failing fast, change it to success and learning quickly. Yeah. And I think that has such a different, profound thought process of, you know, especially in the world of innovation and healthcare adaption, so much of what we do at worst doesn't work. At medium works, but we need to fix it a little bit more. And then occasionally it really works well and it's a grand slam, but that's rare. And so I love your principles on that. You know, on that thread, let's pull on this a little bit. What are some Joe axioms of leadership? What are those principles? What are the life lessons and key leadership lessons that you've learned that you try to propagate out into others, help guide an organization, and kind of live by at a macro level?
Yeah, so a couple of them. One of them I talked about, the whole being introduced to servant leadership and really embracing that. And you know, that was a big shift for me, because I don't think I had quite yet learned at that point in my life that being a leader was not being a manager. It wasn't standing there and giving orders and, you know, telling people what to do. That's not leadership. You know, that's, I don't know what that is exactly, but it's not what we should have from leaders. Leaders serve people. They serve their people and help empower their people to grow and be successful. And in a lot of ways, my success as a leader is the success of my team. So, you know, I try not to take a lot of credit for things, because none of what we do is one person in any organization anymore. It's a team of people bringing a lot to the table. One of the things I really read recently that I really liked was Judy Faulkner at Epic mentioned that she says, when people come to her and share things that they've done and that are successful, she doesn't say thank you. She says, congratulations. And I really love that spin on it, to say that, you know, hey, celebrate their success. That's what we're here as leaders to do. And when we celebrate that success, we encourage the next success. So it's not just fluff. It's sort of strategic to encourage people to do more and be more successful. One of the other things I've learned as I've, you know, moved up org charts in my life, and I unfortunately think there are a number of leaders out there who don't get this. The higher you go in the org chart, the louder your voice is, meaning what you say matters more. So if you make an offhand comment in a meeting, it has more impact. It has the ability to shape how people behave and their reactions far more than somebody the next level down on the org chart. And, you know, we've all seen great leaders who understand that, and we've all seen leaders who don't understand that. And when you're in a senior leadership position, every word matters. Every facial expression in a meeting or on a video conference matters. And, you know, there are days I wish it wasn't like that, and we as leaders could be a little more off the cuff. But I think we as leaders need to be a little more thoughtful in what we say and when we say it and where we say it and who we say it to. Because, again, the higher up you go, the louder your words are. The more they're heard, the more they're embraced as the gospel of what needs to happen. And people will change what they do, and they will react to those words more than someone at a different level on the org chart. So I think that would probably be a couple of my things, Russ, that I try to embrace is, you know, serve the people you lead. It's a privilege to be a leader, and certainly be humble about it. Divergent success is nothing, very little to do with Joe. It has to do with a whole team of people that are smart, committed, and bring a lot to the table and work hard every day for our clients. And, you know, then the other part is, keep in mind that what you say matters a lot, and you need to make sure that you're putting it all in the right context and saying it at the right place in the right time.
That's awesome, Joe. Yeah, we are definitely a product of the success of the people around us. And as you said, I actually don't like org charts, but as you have positions of greater responsibility, often you sometimes realize that the real work's done by amazing people around you, and you're not doing much. What you're really doing is creating the environment for them to be successful. I work with this one amazing, I'll say young, because she's still very young, leader named Callie. And she has been teaching me a lot over the last few months, really longer than that, but really the last few months. But one of the statistics she showed me recently is, when you look at the generational shift that is occurring at a rapid pace, the boomers, and we have a lot of respect for the boomers in the past of Chime and really in our industry, but they are exiting stage left and transitioning to whatever's next in their lives at an unbelievable pace. And you look around and the industry looks significantly different. It's probably still not as diverse as it should be. It probably still not as ethnically and minority diverse or gender diverse as it should be. But the reality is it looks a lot different than it did over the last 20 or 30 years. And I think that's both a good thing, but also a challenging thing as we really realize that the next group of leaders are here and they're now. They're not next generation, they're now generation. And so as you think about that, as especially for me, as I transition to an old guy, you're nowhere near there yet, but the reality is think about, you know, the success for diversion, success for you, somebody as a leader. How do you think about that next group of aspiring leaders and or new leaders, and how do you work with them? And what are your thoughts for so many entering into our healthcare ecosystem at a unique and pivotal time?
Yeah, you know, the conversation around the different generations and, you know, boomers, Gen X, Gen Z, I've lost track of all of the names, is really an interesting one. And I've actually got a book in my Kindle queue on it that someone referred to me that looks pretty interesting talking about it. You know, my thoughts is if I were back at the beginning of my career and I think about what's going to be important to grow and succeed and get to where you want to be. One of the things I'd first say is figure out where you want to be. You know, not everybody wants to be a leader. Like I said, it's a privilege and it's hard work and it's a humbling experience on a good day. And not everybody wants that. That's not where everybody's head is. And I think there are some generational influences where there may be less people that want to be in that leadership position. They would rather be more senior individual contributors and you know, grow their career as a knowledge expert on a particular topic or something. And that's okay. But, you know, kind of have a sense of where you want to go. Then acknowledge that as you grow older, it will change. Because one, you know, your perspectives will change as you learn more. And two, opportunities will be presented to you. I mean, Russ, I've been in this healthcare IT space my whole career. I literally started as a computer operator in the basement of a hospital. I never fathomed this would be where I'd be at this point in my life. And the career found me, and I found the passion for it because of what it lets me do and be a part of. I don't think I have the stomach to be a direct caregiver, but if I can help caregivers be more successful, that's great. That fills the why for me really nicely. And the other advice I'd give is lean in. Look for opportunities to engage. Look for opportunities to listen, learn, add to the conversation, to, as we talked about in a prior, earlier in this podcast, look for opportunities to innovate, look for opportunities to bring new ideas to the table that challenge the status quo. You know, us older folks, and I'm not far behind you, but maybe a little, you know, we can get stuck in our ways some days, and we need folks who have new and fresh ideas to challenge us and push us around. Now, it's our job to listen to them and not be, you know, change averse and resistant and tell them about all the times we tried to do that and it didn't work and everything. You know, there's a lot of great knowledge and talent out there in our rising leaders. And they deserve our attention and they deserve our support. The last thing I might add is don't be afraid to ask for it. For a lot of my career, I probably neglected asking for something that I wanted, whether it was a next level in my career or some additional responsibilities or the opportunity to participate in a project. And somewhere along the way, you know, I finally figured out if I don't ask, the answer is always no. So ask, you know, hey, can I be a part of that team? I'm really interested in that. And sometimes the answer will be no, and that's okay. You deserve an explanation of why it's no. And sometimes it's because we need your talents over here. It's more important to us right now. You know, but a good leader will also say, but we're going to work on how to get you where you want to be there. So, think about where you want to go, be ready for it to change, lean in, participate, and don't be afraid to ask.
Well, Joe, unfortunately, our time has run out on this podcast. As always, thank you for your inspirations. Thank you for your thoughts. And thank you to you and our friends at Divergent, longtime Chime supporters. And we just greatly appreciate everything you're doing out in our industry to try to make it a little bit better every single day.
Well, thank you, Russ. We're humbled and privileged to be part of the Chime and overall healthcare IT community. You know, we think we're in an industry where we all have a passion and a desire to make healthcare better. And, you know, we appreciate being able to be part of that.
Well, and for all of you listening, thank you for joining us for this episode of Chime's Leader to Leader podcast. As always, you can visit us at Spotify or at chimecentral.org/media to listen to this and so many great healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate and transform and create the positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout all the communities you're serving. But for now, stay safe and God bless.